Good evening, everyone. Last spring, when asked by Reverend McFarland if I would give a sermon or speak during evening service, I stammered and I stalled as best I could. But like a good salesperson, Reverend McFarland had removed every obstacle by allowing me to select virtually any Sunday throughout the year. Always ask for that deferred commitment when you want something from somebody. You know, look, I need you to help me. If you got a truck and help me move my freezer, it's not for about 3 months when we finish some renovation. Oh, 3 months, yeah. This Saturday, no, geez, not Saturday, that's not good. So get that deferred commitment. I tried ignoring long enough and hopeful that all his Sundays would soon fill up. But again, like the good salesperson, he persisted, and me, without a valid reason to decline, accepted for this evening. Well, back in August, February the 8th was light years away. It can wait, patience, relax. Everything was going swimmingly until, well, Christmas came and Christmas ended. And now I realized I've got these zillions of thoughts have been running through my mind, and now I've got to start to put them to paper. Patience. I think now my mother is smiling down on me. It was some 40 years ago that I was last on this altar. Precisely, almost 40 years this September since my last Annie here. And it was September of 1975. My wife Kathy and I exchanged vows before God with Father Leo Mallett as the officiant. Prior to both those visits, then and this evening, I was filled with angst and nerves, patience. But also on both occasions, it felt good then, and it feels good now to be here. Spirituality in the digital age. That was a topic that seemed somewhat heady. A couple of Sundays ago, Dr. Duke made mention of a litany of demands, self-imposed demands, put on us by the many devices in our lives today. iPads, iPhones, smartwatches, smart TVs, Google goggles, and tablets galore by any number of manufacturers. Dozens of tablets and hundreds, patience, thousands of apps to install. And to think, all this began many, many years ago with Moses coming down from Mount Sinai. Having spoken with his God, his Lord, Moses came down with two tablets. Mind you, that was quite a warranty in those days. Moses broke the first set, goes back up the mountain, gets another set. Not only that, his Lord God downloads free 10 apps. Give those to your people of Israel. In Isaiah 40, verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and see. See who created these. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. And again, patience. If we refuse to take our eyes off that cursor and are constantly heads down, thumbs clacking away, how can we truly appreciate those wonders of God? The stars, the rivers, the life-giving and sustaining wonders of our Lord God. Well, on a far lesser scale, I see it in my current incarnation as mayor. Those who are constantly heads down, picking away at other things we may suffer in town, deficiencies like the potholes, the snowbanks, the traffic jams, patience, again, the snowbanks, the four-way stop, and the snowbanks. Can we not instead raise our heads, raise our eyes to a greater vision? There is little to see in our daily lives if we are constantly looking down. One has to look up and ahead to see and appreciate the wonders of a greater presence than man. Taking but a few moments to reflect upon where we are geographically, personally, vocationally, and spiritually. Introspection. That reminds me, sitting in St. Andrew's United Church, and each Sunday, although I was brought up as a Roman Catholic, I attended St. Andrew's and raised our family in St. Andrew's Church. And each Sunday, I wondered why Walter Murray and Ray Francis had to single me out every Sunday in their respective sermons. I squirmed in my seat, felt as though everyone in church was boring holes through me. That's probably half the reason I took on the Sunday school role, so I could leave during the sermon and deal with the children. Kind of that Catholic guilt spilling all over the floors of St. Andrew's. Patience, again, in this digital age. Not every ding, not every beep, not every notification, push notification, requires 24/7 immediacy. It can wait. That's that patience. It can wait. This is now a new ad campaign for AT&T in America to help put an end to texting while driving. That'll be there. Relax. It'll be there when you pull up to a stop, you come to the end of your ride, at home, at work, stop for a coffee. Relax. Author Ray Davis is quoted as defining patience, not as passive waiting, but active acceptance of the process required to attain one's goals and one's dreams. The active acceptance of the responsibility one has to one's own well-being. The well-being of those also in that car, in the vehicles around them, also to those friends and family members and employers and community members of all those very same people. So many lives are affected when something goes awry. And should that text go through without anyone being maimed or killed, piling into a ditch, what is achieved? A smiley face? A winky face? An LOL? Certainly not God's will or the deepening of spirituality. Actively accepting the process required to attain one's goals and dreams. To do this means taking time from our already, usually self-imposed, time-constrained days to think about our plans and our goals. As one would do in life, be it career life, be it personal life, home, family, retirement, beyond retirement, we must also do in our spiritual life. The old adage, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. When we enter a theater, a meeting, a presentation, here this evening, we are typically reminded to and requested to turn off our cell phones. Should we not ask or demand at least the same courtesy of ourselves when we are enjoying family or personal spiritual time? Patience. It can wait. As in our work life or work family and our family life, where we check in to see where we are, how are things going, how are we feeling, how can I make life or work easier or make more sense? What can I or what can we do to improve the company, or in my case, the town's current performance, or the family's current situation? To enjoy our personal spiritual life and growth, should we not pose to ourselves similar questions? This personal introspective, this Q&A or spiritual question and answer period? Or as my old friend and former neighbor Ted Jarvis used to refer to as the self-audit. Self-audit's merely prayer. That dialogue between your brain and your soul, you and your God, you and your supreme being. Well, in municipal government, we are legislated by a higher power, the provincial government, to undergo a municipal planning review and a land use bylaw review at least every 10 years. Mandated every 10 years. We are currently in year 7 of this current municipal planning strategy. And council has initiated a process to once again revisit our commandments, to appraise them based on current trends and shifts. This is not to change the basic tenets or the general philosophy of where or what Wolfel is or thinks it is, but to perform that mandated self-audit. To exercise this process properly, we have to check in with our constituents. Polls, surveys, questionnaires, round tables, farmers market, open houses, public meetings. Again, question and answer sessions. Isaiah 40, 24, scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their root taken in the earth, when he blows upon them and they wither and the tempest carries them off like stubble. With human life and human time so very fleeting in comparison to spiritual life and eternity, is a little uninterrupted personal spiritual time too much to ask for or too much demand of oneself? This would, of course, go back to the earlier reference made of self-imposed demands. Demand of yourself the time, that uninterrupted time, patience, it can wait. Time to reflect. Check that spiritual balance sheet, the personal spiritual self-audit, to examine and determine one's true achievements and success. The irony of life is the success of one's time here on earth is, in the end, not determined by the size of one's house, flat screen television, number of or types of toys. It is in how they treated their friends and family and others. Corinthians 9:19. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all so that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win that weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. When I read this, and again, from a civic perspective, it caused me to reflect on what it takes, what is required, to fully appreciate the needs of all of our constituents. Not only those who come out and speak for themselves, but also for those members of our community who, through their fault or through no fault of their own, do not or cannot speak for themselves. We must make the time, we must find the place to appreciate everyone's concerns or issues, walk the paths, ride the bike lanes, talk to the merchants, greet the visitor, share time and effort at the food bank, see what's up at the fire hall, ask an elder to peek through that senior window of wisdom. I had a friend, Mary Vaughn, back when I was an early parent, probably as about 35 or 6, and this friend of mine, Mary Vaughn, in Halifax, she was 75 at the time. And I stopped. I said, "Mary, what's it like? You know, I need to look through that window ahead. What have I got to look forward to?" She said, "Jeff, I don't feel any differently now at 75 than I did when I was 20. I can't do what I did when I was 20, but I don't feel any differently." That gave me heart. Looking ahead with raising the children and so on, that life can be that good to us. Also, looking back the other way, the young skateboarder, ask that skateboarder, what's new, what's hip, what's cool, what's rad these days? I bumped into a little young fella, Cam Foran from Port Williams out on the Stars Point Road. I wouldn't say we've become chums yet, but he came into my office one day downtown and wanted to know about that skate park. What are we going to do about it? It's dangerous. It needs repair. So we opened up dialogue and had a chat. I've been over to his house a couple of times. I ride my bike over that way. And anyway, I've gotten to chat with him, and we are going to. That is on our recreation plans as a town to deal with that. We did make it safe, but to upgrade that. But staying with that link, that link behind us as well as in front of. How are we as civic leaders to know what our community requires as a whole if we do not engage all? One cannot be so narrow or small-minded that they can actually believe theirs is the only one correct way. It takes care, takes time and patience to not only ask others, but to also listen to what those others have to say. Dr. Brian Weiss is quoted, "Inner peace is impossible without patience. Wisdom requires patience. Spiritual growth implies the mastery of patience." Well, I've spoken a lot of patience a lot this evening, and when it comes right down to it, patience is what allows us to face the challenges of life, turning those challenges into opportunities. And I want to leave you with one more thought before I go tonight. This comes from Canada's probably premier naturalist painter, Robert Bateman, who was at convocation here last year. And as he was being conferred a Doctor of Letters by Acadia as an octogenarian, and looking back on his life, the three most important things he had learned and wanted to pass on to the graduating class of 2014, not patience, although I'm sure to attain his level of spiritual growth, he had mastered patience. No, it was number one, be kind. Number two, be kind. And number three, be kind. Born at the outset of the Depression, raised through a world war, economic ups and downs, cycles like never seen before, the greatest of technological advances, medical advances, placing men on the moon, landing crafts on distant planets and comets, and it all comes down to be kind. And being kind is how I think patience is manifested. Thank you very much, and be kind.